Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves, a continued carnage. We started out in Pittsburgh with the Doc Talk podcast hosted by Dr. Greg Rosco. And Bill North came in talking a little baseball and oral cancer and stuff. That was nice as he makes his way through the network. Now we're in Oakland, California, Sports Talk Saturdays hosted by Bruce Kessinger and the other product that's coming out of South Florida. And boy, he's a good one too, Scott Morgenroth. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, playing a little co-host with these guys and producing it. 347-205-9631 goes by quick. 60 minutes. Catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms. Wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Bruce, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? I'll pass it over to Scott, and I'll take it. And I believe in 2 weeks we might have Tim Worley, former running back of the Pittsburgh Steelers, on this show.
Excellent. And how am I? Well, I'm sort of pleasantly overwhelmed by sports right now. It's that time of year. I can be reached at freeroller91978@gmail.com or on Facebook. Scott?
All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter, at Tribune South. But most of all, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Please hit subscribe. It is free. You get all the great shows that we have. Mark is in the loop as well. And looking forward to another great show today. I am outside of Joe Robbie / Hard Rock Stadium. I know everybody keeps track of where I go every week. Last week it was Talladega, Alabama. Now I'm back a little bit closer home in my own bed, where the Miami Hurricanes are set to take on the North Carolina Tar Heels. The Canes going to this game 2-2. And the North Carolina Tar Heels are 4-1, and we're coming off a very embarrassing loss to Middle Tennessee State. So it'd be good if we can pull out a victory today so I can quit talking about defending this football team. I'm getting tired of it after a while. Let's pull out a big win already.
Indeed. Well, we do have some big time. Yeah, go ahead.
I say indeed all the time when it has to defend the teams that I represent, especially when they're not performing properly. So go ahead,
well,
Bruce,
why don't you take it away with a topic that's on your mind. We'll give it over to Scott, and I'll take one.
Okay. Well, since it's big news more around here than probably is anywhere else, was the dust-up between Jordan Poole and Draymond Green. This isn't the first time it's happened with Green. On most other basketball teams, I would say that it would cause trouble, blah, blah, blah. They won't be the same this year. I think they'll get over it because they have one guy that takes care of business there, and that's Steph Curry. He'll straighten it out. Draymond is going to get a suspension. I have no doubt. That's the way it works. It happened to him before. I know there's people out there who think that this is going to, you know, cave in the organization. I don't. What could happen here is it does influence the decision of Jordan Poole next year on contracts and Draymond's contracts coming up. And the question I think is that will come up is, you know, Draymond wants a max and Jordan Poole is on the final year of a rookie contract. He plays well enough. You're looking at a guy who's $20 million a year or something. So maybe that is affected down the line after the season. We'll see. But I still think that the Warriors are going to weather this storm and put it aside personal problems. They're just too veteran, and that's the way it is.
Well, Scott, any thought to that?
No, not really. Draymond Green is Draymond Green. This guy's a loose cannon. He's going to get his money, whether it's with the Warriors or not. And whatever fines he gets, he's going to get. The guy's just simply a loose cannon. He wants to get paid. His energy, if he can't complain about it locally, he'll go on his old podcast. But let's face the reality. The Warriors don't win a darn thing unless Draymond Green is playing for him. So, you know, let Draymond be Draymond. And Jordan Poole, from my end, understands a good player, so they got to get it worked out. I don't know if he's going to get suspended any games. I think they'll handle it internally, but to suspend a guy games over this, I realize it got on video. I understand that totally. This viral business is what it is, but I think things will settle themselves down. I just don't see a guy getting suspended a game or two over this. I just don't. slap him with a big fine, let the guy donate it to charity for all we care. You know, it doesn't matter.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point, and Bruce and Scott. I just think this thing plays out every year, whether it was Kevin Durant and Draymond Green or now Poole and Green. I mean, it's just part of the thing. The Warriors need something to talk about as they're getting ready to, you know, raise a banner against the Lakers here in a couple of weeks, where the average price is about $700 to get in that joint. Any comment on that, Bruce?
Yeah, one word, ridiculous. And just, if it's in LA too, it's like, are the Lakers really going to do anything? You're basically, in my opinion, of course, biased as it is, you're paying $700 to see the home team get killed. The Warriors are just too good. If they suspend Draymond for one game, which is what I think is going to happen, they shouldn't do it for that one. They should wait. And they should just bury the Lakers and then get on with the season. $700, come on. Really?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Scott, any thought to that?
Yeah, I wouldn't pay 700 cents to see it, let alone $700. I mean, again, I'm a member of the media. I shouldn't have to pick and choose my battles. I think it's overblown. I really don't frankly care about it. I'll be honest with you. I can't stand the NBA and do very little that I can to promote the sport on my network. I have other things that are far more important to me than dealing with the NBA. If it isn't one thing that they're talking about off the court, it's another. We all know that Draymond Green's a loose cannon. He has been. He's been there. But all he does is win, you know. All right, he's Michigan State Spartan. I like the Wolverines, but big stinking deal, you know, $700 for that. I don't know. I just think one of the reasons people are turned off on the NBA is the drama. And he's just, like you say, every year, Bruce, something else happens to this guy, and they keep moving on. We'll see. My question is how much better will the Warriors be or worse if when the time comes he ultimately leaves there? Will he be in a discussion like a Dennis Rodman where you have a guy that plays defense and rebound leave and all of a sudden we'll see the drop-off later on? So, you know, they're going to suspend him a game, get it over with. I just don't see it really getting to that point. I really don't. They'll handle it internally. Good teams handle it internally, and they deal with it and they wash it under the rug like they always do. But I don't know. I don't know the way the Warriors organization operates. The only thing I know about the Warriors is they let Mark Jackson go, and I still wonder why he hasn't even gotten a head coaching job. And yet Steve Kerr's done a fairly good job there, so I don't know how they operate out there. I really don't.
Well, Linda from Mission Viejo,
yeah.
First-time listener, guys, and I'll let you comment on that, Bruce, basically says, yeah, these games are getting to be overpriced. I can't even afford to take my kids to these things unless I get free tickets. That's the only way. Between the parking that they want, $30-something dollars to park, by the time you buy concessions and merchandise, I just don't have it, and it's unfortunate. You know, that question comes up, and I don't want you to...
Here's the problem. I'm sorry to interrupt, Mark. You're paying $1,700 to go to these games. You can buy a ticket from coast to coast with two people for that amount of money to go from east to west for that. So this person is really totally right on, Mark. He really is. $800 for a stupid basketball game. Really? I mean, you know, you could go east to west, okay, with two people, and to me, you get a bigger bang for your buck going across the country. So didn't mean to interrupt you, but this was a really good comment.
No,
really
that's good. And I don't want Bruce to lose his train of thought. We appreciate it as we're really ripping it up now with some questions. But I told you this last night, Bruce, I walked into a Salvation Army, found a thing for $4. It was a San Diego Chargers football shirt with the lightning bolt. That thing would cost you $40. The week before, I found a Laker 2020 cap. That would be $40-something. So $10, two items. I ain't paying $80 for these two things. And people are crazy, man, to go into these joints and lay down $50 for this or whatever and buying these and beers and everything. That is absolutely absurd in my book. Bruce?
Indeed. I'm with you on that. Salvation Army, Goodwill. I found a lot of good sporting gear in there for cheap. And one final thought on that whole Draymond Green thing. If he does get suspended or if he leaves – with Wiseman back in action, you could shift to Looney over to the power forward position, and you would not lose much, I'll tell you. Anyway, that's it for basketball. Who cares about preseason games? I don't.
All right.
You want to go into the baseball playoffs? Anybody?
Yeah, let's start with that. Where do you want to go in that one? Because I know where I'm going.
I know where you're going. You're going straight to San Diego. Basically, everybody I thought was going to win lost. And that's, yeah, I thought that everybody was going to do it, and they did not. So that 2 out of 3 thing actually is geared for teams to upset other teams. So who knows with, the home teams losing like they did in the first round. My God, I mean, if Cleveland goes further and all of that stuff, right now, I'm just sort of on edge about it. None of my predictions are right. You, Mark? You got San Diego?
Well, I will tell you, I don't want to get into this, and, I can't wait to hear Scott's, but I don't want to hear, hey, Mancini, it's only one game and this is it. But I told you this a long time ago. This is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And these teams that waltz, to 22-game leads in a division, and they start resting guys, and they have a week off. You got to watch out for those teams that are coming in. Case in point, 2019, nobody saw the Washington Nationals when they were below 500 in May that year. They got in the playoffs. They beat the Dodgers in their backyard. Everybody thought, well, this is a one-sided thing. This is David and Goliath. Goliath's going to stamp David. But I will tell you this. The Padres went into New York yesterday, took out Scherzer. They'll take out DeGrom today. They'll have a day of rest, couple days, case in point, and then they'll get out to L.A., and they're going to take the Dodgers out next. This team is determined. I'm telling you, man, Soto's batting 350 in New York. He's got 10 home runs. He struggled last night. 4 home runs off of Max Scherzer. The Mets are demoralized. They're done. Bury this team. We'll see you in March when you reconvene in Port St. Lucie, because this team is not coming back to beat San Diego. San Diego will go after the Dodgers next, and then it could be Atlanta and Houston. This might be the first of 4 100 teams the Dodgers, Braves, and Astros, the Padres, push to the side of the road. Scott, any thought?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts. Number one, Major League Baseball should be thrilled to death that the Tampa Bay Rays, Cleveland Guardians, almost said Indians, so I had to refrain myself since we're all used to doing it. Series is in Cleveland. That way they can get halfway decent crowds, okay? That's item number one. So MLB is laughing all the way to the bank. And, no, I did predict the Guardians to win that series because of Terry Francona. He's a heck of a manager. Item number two, I did not see San Diego beating the daylights out of the Mets the way they did, let alone Scherzer coughing up 4 home runs and looking bad. He looked like he was gassed. The wear and tear on Max Scherzer last night was very, very, very evident. I definitely thought in the other series that Pujols, I was hoping that he'd get a nice send-off, but right now when the Phillies go ahead and pile up 6 runs in the ninth inning, that's not the send-off you want. And what about the Seattle Mariners? We're not even talking about them. They haven't even been to the postseason in 21 years, and they took on their expansion brother, the Toronto Blue Jays, that walked in there and beat them 4-0. Manoah, to me, looked like he was a nervous can of beans, and it showed from the outset with his wildness earlier. So, 3 of the 4 road teams winning. But I do like this format. I don't like the 163. Let it be a 3-game series, best of 3, because we're used to seeing that all year anyway. So MLB really got it right with this. They did, but I'm not going to look ahead about what San Diego's going to do with the Dodgers. I don't want to go there, but I can tell you right now, Bob Melvin is a heck of a manager. You give the guy any kind of talent, and Bruce, you, Mark, ought to know, he's going to do something with it, and more power to the Padres. They've come up bridesmaids twice in the World Series. We'll see if they've got enough in them to actually finally take home the prize when Tony Gwynn was there 1 year. And, then, of course, my Tigers won in 84 over the the Tigers won over – in 84 over the Padres as well. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. MLB got it right with the 3-game series. I really like what they did there. And I'll be interested to see how things play out this afternoon, although I'll be using my phone to watch the scores since I'll be here in Miami covering a football game. We do have to do that in the journalism world, Mark and Bruce. We get out to these events and kind of show up, little sound, good stuff.
Indeed.
Like a 42-year-old juror. That was the word indeed. Bruce, you know what I'm going to have you do, buddy? I'm going to have you trademark it. BK indeed, okay? I'll find you a good trademark attorney for it.
Yeah, I am a Bob Melvin fan. I mean, in that sense, I really enjoyed his time here in Oakland. So I have never really been a Padre fan, but Bob Melvin is a great guy, great manager. He always had the respect of his players. And Dusty Baker is the other manager I'm rooting for. It'd be interesting to see those two together. They're part of Bay Area lore. So we'll see how things progress. The other thing that we'll switch to the NFL here. Have you ever seen an uglier game than you saw this Thursday, guys?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't see because I was smarter than both of you guys doing inside the pigskin for most of that game, and I was getting updates from everybody on the planet. So, no, Bruce, to answer your question, I didn't see the ugliness of it until I was getting tired later, and then I went to bed. So if there's ever a time to follow in the footsteps of Mark Mancini and book myself big time, that was definitely the night on Inside the Pigskin and the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Good stuff. No, that was terrible. And Al Michaels, from what I hear, got nauseated with it as well. So I don't know. Amazon Prime, whoever's broadcasting this stream, maybe they were better off being streamed because the network sort of gagged. This game here.
Yeah, I got to totally agree with you, man. I mean, now, you know, and it's funny because there should be another outcome for this if you don't have the Amazon and everything. The Skins and the Bears are on this week, and that's something that I like to sit there and watch, being a Skins fan on the NFC side of things. But, I mean, this doozy they put on with Indianapolis and Denver, 12-9 game, Amazon can't be happy with that. They're probably saying, what the hell did we invest in this? I think the NFL, and I don't know what your take is on Bruce, and I'll give it over to Scott, you got to have a flex schedule here, I think. I really do that you can flex some of these games that are just doozies. I mean, the only thing Thursday night does that I like it more than anything is they make sure every team gets exposure on that day.
Except a lot.
Other than that, you know, it wasn't a game that was worth watching. We'll find out this Thursday. But I will tell you this, a good friend of mine in Chicago that does radio told me to watch out for the Bears, and I told him, what year is that? They haven't been relevant since 1985.
Yeah, let's go back to your childhood on that one. The one that you were talking about exposed. Yeah, you're talking about exposed. Boy, I think that the Bronco fans had a right of course. They were walking out before the overtime started. And you've got to look at the situation right now with Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett. It's like, wow. This is bad, and you gave up a lot to get him, and he has got a fat contract. If I'm a Bronco fan, and I have never been, this I think is appalling. It looks so bad, and in fact, almost all of those games have been bad. You're talking about low scores. This is not good. This isn't going to fly. I see turmoil there massively.
Yeah, the Detroit Lions are the only team that did the Thursday game, and they're more exciting than any of these. They can score. Their problem is they can't stop anybody. The only thing that they have on Thursday is thankfully the Thanksgiving game anyhow. But Mr. Kneecap Dan Campbell makes it interesting. He can go ahead and give you 22 points in his sleep without even getting to the first quarter. So I don't know what Amazon was thinking, but they didn't buy into Mr. Kneecaps at all. But, yeah, I mean, this football game on Thursday night sent offensive football back to the Stone Age with Fred Flintstone is what it did. This is awful. You're talking about that Russell Wilson contract, what, $245 million? Really? And then Matt Ryan getting traded over to Indianapolis. So now we have a 2-2-1 versus a 1-3-1. You know, 1-3-1 reminds me of what you see in basketball with a defense, not an actual game itself. You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, you know. But yeah, or 2-3, I don't know. All these numbers I'm giving you, 2-3 is, I believe, a defense in basketball, right? We have a 2-3, and then 1-3-1. All right, I'm kidding with you guys. Now, as you can tell, you've had my time out this morning. But the reality is that Thursday night game was absolutely a joke. And Amazon, whoever the heck it is, when Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit are looking at this degree of ugliness, which, thankfully, I did not watch, and I don't have time to watch a lot of these Thursday games because I do keep myself busy on the air, Mark and Bruce, I do. If I do see a game that's entertaining, will I flip it on? Yeah, I mean, but if you're going to give everybody an opportunity, and I hate to sound biased toward the Lions, put them on there as well. But, you know, maybe they're thankful they're not on anyways because they don't have to worry about that, the change of the schedule in their routine, you know, seven up, seven down, you know, instead of that, if you win, great, you have 10 days, or if you lose, it's a downer, like I'm dealing here with today when the Hurricanes lost to Middle Tennessee. They had 2 weeks to think about that debacle. So when you lose a Thursday night game, it's harder to live with, right, guys? But when you win them, it's a little easier. But in the end, it's a game either way. Yeah, no, this is a joke. I don't get it. And Nathaniel Hackett, to me, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a one-and-done coach if this continues to happen. He's making – you know, he reminds me of NASCAR. He's making in-season adjustments with coaches. Now we got to go ahead and simplify the game plan. Duh, why didn't you do that during the preseason? Why didn't you do that during the OTAs? Why did they hire the guy only with the intent they thought they were going to get Aaron Rodgers there, and they settled on an over-the-hill Russell Wilson, who Pete Carroll knew, well, we'll let him go, and Geno Smith is doing well. So maybe Carroll's a lot smarter than many of us think that we are, and I know, Mark, you're in Southern California, but Pete Carroll doesn't look too bad right now letting Russell go. He really doesn't, and the Broncos are an absolute mess. They really are.
Yeah, no, that is. And I think it could be the altitude as we get some questions coming in. Chris coming in from Boulder, Colorado, says, you know, he was at that game. Guys, I love listening to your show. I heard it last week with Keith Dorney. The Broncos are a mess, big disappointment. And if we don't right this ship, we could be buried in a hurry with Kansas City taking control of it. But I will tell you, you know, the team you got to watch out for in the AFC is the Miami Dolphins. And I've been critical of them. You know that, Scott. And he basically said the team in the NFC is the Philadelphia Eagles, so he likes Philadelphia and Miami in the Super Bowl. I'll tell you this before I give it over to you, Scott. I'm not a big fan of Miami. I don't think they're going anywhere with Tua, regardless of Tua or whatever. They just don't have a quarterback, and I think the Jets are going to kill them tomorrow in New York. Any thought to that before we give it over to Bruce?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Mark, you're on target for part of it anyway. And let me go in a certain direction so I can lead back to the Dolphins, if I might, all right? Number one, I think the NFL needs to get on the same page as the NFLPA and start making some major moves towards the NFL concussion protocol and the testing that has to be done. I think that the NFL is a little behind the eight ball, and I don't know if they've completely learned from the Tua debacle during the nationally televised game. You know, NFL needs to move a little quicker on this. NFLPA's interest to protect their players. But forget about that. I think everybody wants to see this situation resolved because it's a bad look for football anyway with it being a contact sport. Now, do I think that the Jets can beat the Dolphins tomorrow in New York? You better believe I do. I'm not sure how good Teddy Bridgewater is. But the guy I want you guys to pay close attention if this Tua thing drags out a little longer is a fellow by the name of Skylar Thompson, who was drafted later in the draft that Mike McDaniel opted to keep on the roster as a 53-man guy out of Kansas State. His numbers in Kansas State weren't overly that great, but he has a certain skill set, which is really good for the Dolphins. So, and I think it's kind of what we're seeing here in New England, too, Mark and Bruce. You know, you have quarterback one, Mac Jones, right? And then Brian Hoyer gets things up. Now Bailey Zappi is playing against the Detroit Lions. So now you're down to potentially your third quarterback. But, Mark, yeah, no, I'm on target with you, bro. Okay, I think that Miami will struggle tomorrow in New York, but we don't know enough about the Tyreek Hill injury situation as well. So, but they got to get this concussion situation straight. Tua doesn't even – he hasn't been healthy his entire time in Miami, but I don't blame him for this one. I really don't. I mean, a head injury is a head injury. Listen, guys, I've experienced – a couple of head injuries early in the year. I have what you call second impact syndrome when I took two balls in a three-week period. And you know what? It prevented me from going to some Marlins games that night during the year until I finally got it back together and was able to go half. And I'm still in post-concussion protocol. I have a hard time with light sensitivity. I have a hard time with migraines as well. So I'm still experiencing a lot of the symptoms that go with it. I actually have to go out there and turn the commercials off during TV programming because I can't handle too much noise. How I survived NASCAR last week is anybody's guess. But when you're dealing with a bucket list and you want to do it, you manage. At least with our show, I was in a broom all by herself. We had no problem with that. So, no, I'm with you guys. I really am. I think Miami's going to have challenges tomorrow. And Zach Wilson could really be coming along. And I hope New York doesn't give up on him too quick and he'll give up on Robert Saleh. That could be a good game for the Jets fans.
Bruce, yeah, I agree with you on that. I agree with that totally. I like Robert Saleh as a coach, too. He's a very driven guy, you can tell. And they play over their heads, which is always a good sign for a team in their relationship with their coach. Since we are mentioning the Jets, and they did have a victory, costly one for me, of course, over the Pittsburgh Steelers last week, and the move was made to Kenny Pickett. I don't think it's premature. He did complete most of his passes, but he also threw a few interceptions there. Do you think that that's the and I guess Mark would be the best guy about this because he's a Pittsburgh guy. Do you think Kenny Pickett makes them rise above? I think they might challenge Buffalo, but they're not going to beat him. And you go with him the rest of the season, no matter what.
Well, I thought it was pressure on Tomlin to make that move. I think the media pushed that. He should have took a stand. And, you know, it kind of reminds you of Daniel Snyder when they pushed him to change the name of the Redskins. If you're going to say something and you're not going to, you know, in 2013, I remember Snyder said, I'll never change the name. And he backed down to pure pressure. You can't back down to pure pressure. You got to stay true to yourself before anybody else. So I think Tomlin felt the pressure. We won't know that. He ain't going to tell us that. But you can kind of see it because I think Trubisky should have been given the reins to run this thing unless it was an injury that kept him out and then give it over to Pickett. Because I believe that a quarterback that's coming into the league should carry the clipboard, study the, you know, the playbook, and then be ready to go the next year. Case in point, John Elway. But I will tell you this. I'm taking the 13.5. I think Pittsburgh goes into Buffalo and beats them straight out. I really do. I think, you know, everybody's on this thing that Buffalo's going to steamroll the Steelers. They're in a mess. They might not win another game till Thanksgiving. If you look at their next games after this, they got Tampa Bay. They go to Miami. They go to Philly. This could be a death march, but I really think they'll circle the wagons. They beat Buffalo last year and Buffalo in the beginning of the season. I think they're going into Buffalo and beating them again, guys.
Me, I think Buffalo's seeking revenge.
You said a mouthful, and I'll tell you what, of the mouthful that you just said, Mark, I'll agree with about 85% of it, okay? I don't agree about the prediction in Buffalo, but everything else, we're spot on, Mark. You know, we really, really are. And I'll tell you why we are spot on. Number one, I do believe that a first-year quarterback should sit the entire year. Look what happened to Patrick Mahomes, okay? You had Alex Smith, and the list goes on and on. You have Favre to Rodgers and so forth. So, you know what? I do believe that you're right. Tomlin caved into the media and fan pressure to do it, regardless of what poker face he thinks he's going to have on. Sorry, Mike, not buying it. You caved in. But I think a quarterback should sit for a year unless you're forced in as a result of an injury. Not the case here at all. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not a very good football team. This may be the first losing season under Mike Tomlin. Well, it's too bad because he's a heck of a coach and he's won a Super Bowl, and I have the utmost respect for the Steelers organization. I do. They're over their head against the Buffalo Bills, but I think that Trubisky, they should have stayed with him longer. I understand why they made the move because he felt that maybe Pickett could go ahead and provide him with a spark. I get that a lot. But the problem is you don't want to wreck this kid's confidence. Maybe he doesn't think he's unflappable, or he won't anyways. But the reality of the situation is if it does happen, then you got a real big problem to try to get the kid back. And, you know, they held on Roethlisberger a little while. So what? I don't care. Ben had every right to leave on his own terms. I really do, and who cares? I mean, at some point you have to move on anyways. You had Bradshaw over to how many quarterbacks until you got to Roethlisberger. So in the end, Mark, I love the way you managed to get the Daniel Snyder analogy in about the Redskins caving into pressure. What ended up happening there is not only did he cave into pressure, Mark, here's the deal, man. Okay, sponsors were dropping them. So not only did he cave into pressure when the money hits, when you get hit in the checkbook, you cave in a little bit quicker than you do otherwise, and they had to make the change for other reasons. So I like how you cleverly pulled these two together. But in the end, the proper place for a backup quarterback is to sit for at least 1 year, barring an injury, period. You're right on top,
Bruce. Yeah, in general, I do agree with that. I mean, it's good, great that Trevor Lawrence is having a decent second year because, excuse me, you had your first year with Urban Meyer, and that's like, wow, that could have wrecked him. I don't think he's wrecked, and I think that hiring Doug Peterson was a great move for them because it's kind of like I think both Kahn and Peterson realized their one mistake. There was the Sudfeld incident that got him fired in Philadelphia, and deservedly so, cost of a playoff game. And then you had Kahn just like hiring a bunch of coaches that were like, not all that experienced, not winners. So they, Jacksonville, I think, is on track. I think Jacksonville wins that division too, by the way. I'm looking at other things. The Dallas Ram game seems interesting to me. Anybody got an opinion on that? Dallas is playing pretty good defense. Cooper Rush is 3-0. They seem to have something going on. I still wonder how Mike McCarthy's doing it because I never liked him. Anybody got an opinion on that?
You know what, Bruce, I want to go back to the Jacksonville thing if I can. All right, number one, the Trevor Lawrence situation is the exception to the rule because of Urban Meyer. So when you talk about the totality of that particular situation, and I'm talking about the totality, let's face the reality. Urban Meyer was a wreck as a pro coach anyways. He really was. And I'm glad he got a fresh start under Doug Peterson. So, again, some quarterbacks get thrown in there a little quicker than others. I get that. But that was okay. But 90% of these other situations that you have out there, you go back to them. Now, as far as the Cowboys are concerned, I still think Mike McCarthy will eventually be relieved of his duties. I really do. But, give Cooper Rush his due. You really have to do that. The Cowboys are still in this thing. It's what they are. And you know what? I would ride him as long as you can and leave Prescott so that he can go out there and heal. That's what I would do until they are forced to do otherwise. But more power to the Cowboys. Jerry Jones can look good once in a while, especially since they drafted Micah Parsons, and that Cowboys defense is competing, and the Cowboys are competing in general.
Let me chime in on the Cowboys situation, guys, because I think they're doing it with smoke and mirrors. This is a team that's kind of, putting it all together, trying to save McCarthy's job, and, Rush is not the guy that, that's going to lead you to the promised land. Ezekiel Elliott. This team is a division where the Eagles are going to run away with it. It looks like everybody else is trying to find themselves, but the Cowboys. It's going to be interesting tomorrow out here in Los Angeles. I think the Rams bounce back and beat the Cowboys. A lot of people think it's going to be the other way around, but it doesn't matter. These two teams aren't going nowhere in the NFC. The Rams are going to have problems here in a few weeks. They got San Francisco. They'll go to, Green Bay, Tampa. I mean, it's going to get brutal for them. You look at their schedule in December, they get the Raiders. This team could be coming around by then. The Broncos, who knows what you're going to see with them, the Chargers, to start the new year. So I'm not sold on this, but, I think when it's all said and done, the two teams in the NFC that you got to worry about, it could be a third, is Tampa and Philly will battle it. San Francisco could be an interesting team here, depending on what they do. A lot of people say if you shut down, Garoppolo, you can put a handle on the 49ers. I don't know. The Rams haven't done that in 7 games. So I don't know if you're going to shut the 49ers down. But let's face it, guys. These teams in the NFC just don't compare to what's going on in the AFC.
Indeed. With the Niners. The Niners have absolutely, in my opinion, the best defense in the NFL. So they're going to be in games whether Garoppolo has an off day or not. So I kind of think of the 49ers as a very competitive team. They will make the playoffs, and I'm not sold on the Rams. I am just not sold on the Rams completely. So in that division, Arizona, the Philadelphia game, I think is going to be interesting. It should be a shootout. Jalen Hurts was talking about how good they are. I like Jalen Hurts. He's a humble guy. I'm starting to come around to him. I do agree. It is their division. I think Cooper Rush is a competent quarterback, but we'll see. I am impressed so far with their D. Micah Parsons is definitely a budding superstar. So we'll see what goes with that. Trying to look at some other things that are coming up that are going to be interesting. Let's go to obviously a team I think where the coach is going to get fired, that being Matt Rhule and Baker Mayfield. What's up there? Is he just not all that, guys?
Well, Bruce, let me backtrack on a couple of things that you were talking about. Number one, I like the Philadelphia Eagles. They look awfully good. The more I see of Jalen Hurts, the more I like the guy. I really do. The Rams definitely need Odell Beckham in the worst way. They really do, because Stafford can't do it all by himself with Cooper Kupp. They can't do that, okay? So the Rams need a lot of help. They lost Von Miller, which didn't help matters any. Another guy who paired up well with Aaron Donald. So they're definitely, and again, it's not easy to repeat the Super Bowl champions year in and year out. Now, in terms of the Carolina Panthers, going over to what we're talking about now, Matt Rhule is just days away from being, he'll be fired soon enough. I think Steve Wilks might be the most likely guy that could take his place, who got a raw deal with the Arizona Cardinals when he was, I think, like 1-15. He could be an interim guy. We'll find out. And Baker Mayfield's got one last shot to figure it out, or he's going to be a backup. This is a play-it type of year is what it is for Baker Mayfield. He earned his way out of Cleveland because Cleveland didn't think he was good enough. They gave up a lot of capital to get a guy that won't even play until for another 6 to 8 weeks or whatever it may be to begin with. So, yeah, things are definitely a little bit rough out in Carolina for sure, and it's not getting any easier for him. No matter what David Pepper says, I'm going to stick with the guy. Now, sooner or later, you ultimately succumb to the existing pressure that definitely takes place. You really, really do. And so things are dire out in Carolina for sure. But I love the Eagles. Are you kidding? That team stood behind Jalen Hurts, and Nick Sirianni's impressing the living daylights out of me as a coach. I didn't know much about him a year or two ago, and following Doug Peterson is not an easy act to follow. But Sirianni's doing it awfully well. He really, really is.
Well, you bring up great points across the board. I want to talk about, college football here, guys. And I know you're there with Miami and North Carolina, big game. Know how I feel about Cristobal, Scott. I just think, sometimes the grass ain't always greener on the other side. Yeah, you can move up, but sometimes the results aren't the same. You can see some of these coaches struggling. The Notre Dame one, Brian Kelly, had a tough opening act at LSU. Cristobal is trying to find himself at Miami. I will tell you, the one guy that's taken the reins and run with it, and I will say that they will be in this Final Four come January. Keep your eyes on Lincoln Riley and the USC Trojans. They're going to steamroll Washington State tonight in the Coliseum. Any thought to that, Bruce, and then we'll give it over to Scott.
I agree with USC. They're back. excuse me. I'm with that. I'm looking forward to the Michigan-Ohio State game, too, at 1 today. What can I say? I've never been a USC fan, obviously. I've been a Cal fan. We wallow in the mire here. But, they'll steamroll Washington State. They've got this in the bag. It's been a long time, so I can tolerate them getting back into the top four. I'm in complete agreement with that one. That won't be a surprise to me. Scott?
First of all, Michigan State is hosting Ohio State. The big game is still after. That's okay. Super school.
I got my Michigan's wrong.
Well, it doesn't matter. Who cares? It's okay. You're in the right state. It's just the wrong team at the moment. I like the Wolverines better than the Spartans. So if there's any Spartan fans on there,
yes.
Sorry, I'm a blue guy. That's item number one. Number two, I've got to tell you, another interesting game, it's a trap game today, is Michigan against Indiana. Indiana has been playing Michigan tough the last couple of years, and we'll see where Michigan ends up going. Now, Mark, I want to go to the Mario Cristobal situation. If anybody thought this guy was going to turn this program overnight, they are dead wrong. I never did. You had Tyler Van Dyke coming back, who was a ACC Rookie of the Year a year ago. So, you know, obviously he was replaced at halftime by Jake Garcia. But this is at least a two-year build for Cristobal. He is not a miracle worker. He is not. If there's anybody capable of building the Canes into a powerhouse, it's Mario Cristobal. So, you know, I'm not disappointed with what I've seen with the Canes right now. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I was impressed with Bethune-Cookman in Southern Mississippi being great first opponents, but he didn't make that schedule. He didn't walk into it. And I think ultimately, Mark, the grass will be greener for Cristobal in Miami than it was in Oregon. I really do, but it will take a little bit of time. Now, let's get to the USC point for a minute, okay? I'm glad that USC is playing much, much better. Lincoln Riley was a home run hire, but I can't wait to see USC play in Ann Arbor, Columbus, in Happy Valley, okay, Nebraska during the winter in a couple years. All of a sudden, you're going to need those hand warmers. So enjoy the nicer climate and the competition where it's nice on the West Coast, although I think there'll be a couple Pac-12 teams that end up coming aboard at some point. There's probably news out there that we don't know about. But they might as well enjoy the run to me. A couple years, they're going to go to the Big Ten, just like Oklahoma and Texas are going to go to the SEC, and they're going to find the competition a whole lot more stiffer, and it's going to be tougher. But the only thing that USC and UCLA benefit is they're going to get paid a whole lot of money to face adversaries that they played in the Rose Bowl and beat them. Because every year you have to face these teams now, and then they adjust. It's not like you see them once a blue moon. You beat them in California, and that's it. Totally different animal.
Well, yeah. You know, you bring up an interesting point. Yeah. Great points across the board, but I think the big game today that you got to circle, and this could be the most watched game. I know it's going against baseball and a lot of things, but the Alabama-Texas A&M game, this is quite different than the pros where the assistants get to jump on Bill Belichick. I think Nick Saban owns these guys. The only loss, I believe, is to Jimbo Fisher last year. So this is going to be an interesting game. But I think Texas A&M is really over their heads. Bama knows what's at stake. They'll play with you for a couple quarters, and then they'll just simply bury you. To right now, I don't care. They could say whatever they want about Alabama and Georgia being the defending champs and this and that, but the bar is set year in and year out. Alabama's the best, and you saw what Georgia did this past week. They stumbled with Missouri. I don't know what's going to happen with them, but I will tell you, you know, USC coming into that Big Ten Conference with UCLA, this is going to be a juggernaut, Scott. It's not going to be these, you know, these also-rans that they're beating up on the Northwesterns and anything like that. We're going to see each and every week the Michigans and the Ohio States and the Penn States, what the hell they're made out of. It's going to be fun to watch this in basketball and in football.
No question about it, Mark. Let me point out a couple things. I still think to this day, and there might be differing opinions, that Texas A&M made a big mistake letting Kevin Sumlin go. Because if you look at the comparable records between Kevin Sumlin and Jimbo Fisher, they're very similar. I think Sumlin's a little better. Now, let's not forget, though, that a few weeks back, Alabama narrowly escaped a win against Texas, which is on the uprise. So, you know, but I think there's a lot of, because of what Jimbo Fisher said to him during the offseason, certainly it heats things up a little bit in terms of hype. But I have a feeling you are right, Mark, that Alabama is going to beat the daylights out of Texas A&M. I breathe you there, Mark. I really do. That Fisher's over his head. But the thing is, they can't get rid of Fisher too quick because they owe him a lot of money is what they do. But, you know, like anything else, you know, this is definitely, I think, one of the more anticipated games of the day. If for no other reason, the off-season drama that surrounded the two coaches and the two teams and the name, image, likeness controversy that really nobody knows anything about anyway. We're still trying to seek answers for it.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. What do you think is going to happen with Notre Dame? Does that they're obviously not going to do much this year, and I think they're probably going to even lose to BYU. Bruce,
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I actually picked Notre Dame to beat BYU for some crazy reason today. I don't know why. It's just a hunch that I have. Take it for whatever it's worth. Marcus Freeman's trying to figure it out. The game's in Notre Dame. I'm giving the Irish the benefit of the doubt on that. Go ahead, Bruce. Pick it up.
Hunches are always a good thing. I've watched a couple of their games, and they look flat. He's a first year coach. You can't fire the coach right now, but I look at it as a very ugly season for them. And I don't know, it shouldn't hurt their recruiting. They're Notre Dame, you know.
No, I think they'll be fine. Yeah. I think, again, it's a transitional year under a brand new coach, a young guy who inherited Brian Kelly's program. I wouldn't give a shit on Notre Dame. You know, anytime you walk into a situation where you're replacing a coach that's won more games than anybody in the history of Notre Dame with Brian Kelly, I do believe he's the all-time wins leader above some of the greats because he was there longer. There's going to be a little bit of added pressure there, but I don't think Notre Dame's going to rush to the panic button that quick. You have to give this kid a chance. You really do. Let him put his footprint on the program. We'll see what Marcus Freeman is. I'm not going to get too premature, and I'd like to see him beat BYU. And BYU, by the way, is moving to a Power 5 conference, too, the Big 12. Oh, my goodness, how things change in the college football landscape. My goodness, man. Super conferences, here we come. Not California.
Yeah, it's not a good geography lesson, I'll tell you. Anybody else on other college things? I'm sort of running out of gas here.
Well, I think the Michigan game is going to be interesting here, and, you know, that'll be a good one. But UCLA, Utah, we'll find out if Utah's looking ahead to USC next week. I think UCLA will give them a game. But I want to get into, Bruce, and I'll start with you first. We'll give it over to Scott, then I'll take it. Give me a sure shot, whether it's college or the pros, that you believe is going down, and give me a don't be surprised of.
Okay.
Well, first of all, Mark, I'm sorry, Bruce. I think UCLA is going to beat Utah. I really do. I think that Chip Kelly has them moving in the right direction. Better be just in time for the Big Ten. Sorry, Bruce.
Okay, I think that Green Bay take the Giants out. I don't think that the Giants can compete with that. They stumble, and then when Green Bay rights the ship, it'll be good enough. The running game there is good enough. The don't be surprised thing is, and I'm going against myself on this, Seattle beating the Saints because I've ranked Geno Smith over the Coles since he was drafted. And I still don't think he's all that, but I also don't think that the Saints are all that either right now. And I think, again, I've said it before, I think they made a mistake in the hiring of the coach. I think that they needed an offensive mind like Eric Bieniemy. They didn't hire him. And Dennis Allen, well, I watched him in Oakland, and he's a defensive coach, and he's a great defensive coach. He's not a head coach. I kind of like Seattle to do it there. That's my my sort of shocker.
Scott? Well, let me look at the schedule. I'm looking at the schedule right now, and I know that the Houston Texans have had the Jacksonville Jaguars number in recent years, but here's a little something that everybody should be well aware of, okay? Tony Boselli is getting his – I believe he's going into the Jaguars Hall of Fame, so I have a feeling that the Jaguars are going to take down the – Texans in this game. It'll be a very emotional game up in Jacksonville. It really, really will. And, you know, when I think of the fact that Tony Boselli being the first Jaguar to ever enter Canton is remarkable. And, you know, again, the Houston Texans are probably on a path to get the number one pick. Somebody asked me earlier in the week, what should they take with the number one pick? And I say, go QB1 and get a running back later. And they got a boatload of draft capital. So thinking is I expect the Jacksonville Jaguars to continue their momentum. Forget about the fact that they lost to Philadelphia. They competed hard in that game. So I'm actually thinking and hoping the Jacksonville Jaguars get the best of the Texans for a very emotional time in that franchise with Tony Boselli is honored in Northern Florida. Now, what was the second part of your question, Mark?
Don't be surprised, us.
Don't be surprised. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and look at the fact that when I look at these games here this weekend, that don't be surprised if the Cincinnati Bengals take it to the Baltimore Ravens again. They've had their number in recent years, and the Baltimore Ravens have given up a lot of big leads, and the Cincinnati Bengals are coming together with that offensive line. They're starting to protect Joe Burrow. If they can continue to protect Joe Burrow, then I'll tell you what, I believe the Bengals can return to the playoffs a little bit quicker than the Rams. You know, you hate to see a guy sack 13 times the first couple of weeks, but now things are starting to get a little better, which all the more backs up what I'm saying about the fact that, you know, first three games don't mean anything, and then you have the second 14, you know. So for teams to gel. So don't be surprised to see the Cincinnati Bengals to take it to the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore.
Well, I'll tell you my lock of the week, and guys, you might not agree with it, but I think when these two teams get together, it's always the over. I think the Jets are going to kill Miami. I think there's a lot of problems with the Dolphins, the Tua thing, the doctor there, and I just think that Cincinnati showed me how to beat the Miami Dolphins, even though they had a good first 3 weeks, beating teams and coming back on the Ravens and stuff. But I think the Jets, what they showed me in Pittsburgh was they're not giving up, and they, with Zach Wilson at the helm now, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I like the Jets to win this. I think this is my sure shot. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised, and I'm calling my shot right now. Don't be surprised if the San Diego Padres knock out the Los Angeles Dodgers next week in the playoffs.
Well, you're riding that one,
okay,
aren't you, Mancini? You've been riding that on social media. And you're, at least the one thing I'll say about you, Mancini, I got to tell you, my man, you are consistent with it on Facebook. You're consistent with it on the air. There's nothing more interesting to the guy who, if you're going to make a prediction like you predicted the Jacksonville Jaguars will win the division, that you are so consistent that the Padres will knock out the Dodgers, who won 111 games, the franchise record. But you're not buying the Kool-Aid, but it's hard to debate against you because the Padres are loaded. And if they do go ahead and close out the Mets, that'll be one 100 team off the list. So, but, you know, Bruce, like anything else in life, if you're consistent to me, then you're credible. And Mark is consistent
like
on Facebook, and he's consistent on our show. So consistency is a thing. You're not waffling, okay? You're not like Brett Favre where you're waffling or Aaron Rodgers, but you are consistent. Okay, Mark, I'll give you
Here's the thing, Scott, and I appreciate the compliment, but here's the thing. Tonight you're looking at a team, you're looking at Blake Snell there, that's going to probably end up putting these guys down. He's been hot of late. DeGrom's been struggling. And I just look at that Dodgers series, and I just want to bring it up real fast, that I think the Dodgers, you know, by having that week off, you know, you can only ride Julio Urias so much. After that, it becomes a big question mark. I don't know what you're getting with all these other guys, Gonsolin, Kershaw, May. There's no Buehler there. We'll find out what this back end of the bullpen can do. They have three hitters, possibility of four if you want to throw Will Smith in. But this is a Padre team that was demoralized by the Dodgers all year, getting beat 14 out of 19. I think they know what they're doing. They're just laying low in the weeds, and they're going to snap on these guys, just like they did with the Mets. And this is going to be a really interesting series. So don't be surprised if the Padres knock them out. Any thought to that?
Yeah, but you're I do have a thought to that. You are consistent. I remember many years ago when the Nets had the Pistons number during the regular season, and the Pistons during the Bad Boys era went out there and they swept them. So I don't believe in this regular season crap that you're better than regular season, okay, and that you're going to be in the playoffs, you're going to be. No way. And another point too, Mark, and I remember when the Tigers faced the Cardinals recently in the World Series earlier in the decade, okay, that the Tigers were heavily favored in that World Series. But the problem was they had that week off. Baseball is all about timing, okay? You can't afford to take a week or so off and expect to get it back. Timing isn't something that you turn the light switch on and off. And so I can see where the Padres could catch the Dodgers on their heel. I don't care about the pitching staff, okay, or any of that. When you get to the postseason, Mark and Bruce, your pitching staff is shortened considerably. You don't have four or five-man rotations. Your rotations are about two or three, your fourth or fifth guy becomes your long reliever, so to speak, and your bullpen is shortened. So I don't buy that about who the heck you have. Now, I know that Snell was a great acquisition by the Padres from the Rays, but the Rays recovered. They still managed to get in the playoffs with nothing. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, the best thing that can happen in baseball is the Rays are playing in Cleveland because they're not going to have a stadium half as full for the playoffs. So MLB makes money with the Rays being in Cleveland. But, Mark, again, I'll reiterate what I said. You are consistency. The 14 out of the 19 doesn't matter. I don't even know if Tatis Jr. is he out for a while, or I think he's suspended now, right, for 80-some-odd games. But they got a lot of depth. They made sure at the trade deadline that they packed up, and I don't know how much of effective Josh Hader will be. But, you know, the Padres made the moves down the stretch, and they were willing to invest a lot of capital to bolster that roster. And if they get when they get Tatis back next year, they're going to even be more dangerous. But they're dangerous now. So it'd be hard to debate against you, Mark. It really do. It would.
Well,
what
I like, what I like about Mark's consistency, what I like about Mark's consistency is, as a Giants fan, it's amazing how much he hates the Dodgers than I do, and he's from Pittsburgh. I mean, ever since I've talked with Mark 2-3 years ago, the Dodgers have always been on your enemies list. I love it. I mean, I'm rooting on this. I root against the Dodgers, but you're more vehement than I am. I don't post Facebooks ripping them every time. Go look, because I think those who know me out there know what I think about the Dodgers. But Mark, man, I you're in my corner, and yeah, I guess go Padres, go Bob Melvin.
Mark, do me a favor, okay? I don't want you to get a false sense of security today that I'm complimenting you too much. Because I don't.
Right.
I like hammering you. I really do. So don't – if you were in front of me right now, then you would be giving me the old Gomer Pyle smile. You would. You'd be loving it. Oh, I love it. We're all across the board, all over the country, tearing it up, all that. Don't get a false sense of security getting too many compliments. The only reason why I'm saying anything nice to you today is you're making a whole lot of sense. And I always believe in the old energy. Mark and Bruce, give credit where it's due. That's what I'm doing, Mark. Don't get an ego.
Yeah.
You need compliments as far as you're going to get with me.
Well, I appreciate it. Great show. As we wind this down with about 2 minutes to go, Bruce, boy, I'll tell you, we're picking up steam, and it's just amazing how we built this great show. Let everybody know what you do and how can everybody get a hold of you, my friend, because good insight each and every week with you.
What I do is I sit in front of televisions all weekend and watch sports, and I can be reached at hellholyroller91978@gmail.com or on Facebook.
Bruce. Oh, Bruce, I wish I could look at you now. You're probably smiling from here to Alaska, South Florida to Alaska. Anyways, I don't think I'll have the Guinness Book of World Records of how many podcasts I go on with Mark Mancini, although I'm picking up a lot of them. And now people want me around. I'm on 10, 12, 14 times a week. Can't keep track of them and cover sports. But to get a hold of me, do so at Twitter, @TribuneSouth. But most of all, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. South Florida Tribune YouTube channel doesn't cost anything except a little bit of effort. Hit the subscribe button. You're good to go. And then once a week, I promise I can beat the daylights out of Mancini on any of the fire-up shows that he can handle the beating and that he loves every so much because we're tearing it across the board. Mark Mancini style.
Well, I'll tell you, man, it's unbelievable the listeners that keep coming in here every week. We just keep hitting that consistent route over 600, and it just keeps picking up steam, and I'm just so blessed to do this thing with you guys. You can be reached, all over the place on different shows. I noticed that, and all the guys that pick you guys up on their shows, it's great to see you guys going around the network. I'm just finished up my second year with the Pittsburgh Pirates, thanks to Tarek Brock out there. Continue with other things, the Philadelphia show, the WWDB AM 860. Scott, you were on that promo the other day, so I just want to let you know that was propping you up in Philadelphia. But as we wind down.
Yeah, I saw that on there. I saw that on there, wanted to share it. And I want to add one quick thing that will take me all of 15 seconds. I go on a lot of shows, and there are a lot of audiences that aren't very smart, but I'll say one thing about our Sports Talk Saturday. I enjoy working with this audience in Oakland. You guys are intelligent. I love the questions you put out there, and you guys make my Saturdays very enjoyable being with you, Mark Bruce, and this audience. You guys come up with great stuff, and I'm just thrilled to do this every week, regardless of where I am. The only clue is next week I'll be at home, not inside of a stadium. After that,
yeah, it's the same with us, and I know Bruce throws the same sentiments your way, too. As we wrap this up, for Bruce Kessinger out there in Oakland, Scott Morgenroth down there with Miami and North Carolina, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, we'll talk to you next week. Have a blessed one, guys, and thanks for tuning in.